Hello, everyone. Welcome to Air Olympia. Our good friend Mamba is back, and we're going to have a really good show for you today. It is Saturday, March 6th, and there's a whole lot of really crazy things going on with the budget cuts and student protests all over the country. And I would just like to send my best wishes and blessings and regards and whatever to all of that to start out the show. And then we're going to talk about some things going on with City Hall and have a call in from Helen Fowler from Sisters Organized for Survival. So we love you and thanks for listening. Ground.
What kind of shoes does a black girl wear? Well, only boots of feather. Let him fly to New York town. The weather, I tell about the weather. Close your garden door, leave told you don't lock it. Adam owes me an apple core, it's probably in your pocket. Probably in your pocket. Oh boy, it's number one, yeah. Pass that bottle.
So, Mamba, how was your trip down south?
Entertaining, to say the least.
Well, you know, most things in this universe usually are.
Well, if you look at them right, they can always be an adventure.
Yeah. Just like if you can look at budget cuts right, it can be an adventure, right? Wouldn't you say that?
I think if you look at it right, you have to say it's an adventure because... With the economy the way it is, it's definitely making it an adventure for everybody in the United States today. It's not easy to get by. So we're definitely having to make an adventure out of things, but keep a positive outlook on it.
And basically, what is I want to make sure that the Olympian public or the Cascadian public or whatever doesn't kind of fool themselves about or is clear about what's going on here with the budget cuts. And what has happened is that the United States government tried their best to go to war again against you know everything that isn't like them, you know, like all the Arabs and all the everyone else.
Well, let me stop you. We never stopped being at war.
Yeah, yeah. But they decided to publicly do war and, like, do all these economic tricks to get people to have to enlist and everything. They publicly declared war and made it all, you know, on the news and everybody knew about it and blah, 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 blah. And the way that they thought they would get away with it without having some kind of revolution similar to what happened in the 60s or attempted revolution was, well, they said, well, we won't have a draft. We'll just make the economy go bad, and then it'll be a backdoor draft, but we won't have a real draft.
Well, I can't say that they would make the economy go bad, but we had the 9/11, the horrible event that happened, and then we had a war on terror, in quotations, but instead of a war on terror, which you really cannot fight, the terror then turned against our own people as we went out and went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan and several other parts of the world, which we have our young American soldiers out there fighting right now as the terror is turned against our own people because we are scared to death of what's going on here at home because we don't have enough money to feed our own children some days.
Yeah, and so and that's exactly what's happened is they thought that they could get away with, you know, pumping up the war machine and rolling out all crazy with it, trying to enslave everybody. But then what happened was that they ended up spending all the money on war, and so they didn't have any money to give the American people for like college and health care and the basic, you know, necessities for a creative life.
And college is important, but let me add, necessities of life are housing, clothing, food, water, heat. You know, college is incredibly important for getting a job, but remember what the necessities of life are.
Yeah, jobs aren't a necessity for life.
Well, a job is a necessity of life as far as making money to feed yourself.
Yeah. So what we have ended up with is the possibility for another kind of awakening, another renaissance, you know, because you can't really call what happened in the 60s a revolution. It was like a renaissance or an awakening or something like
that. What was it that time? Let me also say, though, that the economic crisis we're having isn't just the United States. It is a global economic crisis.
Yeah. So how does that work? Because money is based on the fact that there's a finite amount of resources, right? And so that means that if you live in a neighborhood and there's a finite amount of resources, and the world's like one big neighborhood, right? And there's a finite amount of resources, then that means that if there's 21 ears of corn, and you know, every week there's 21 ears of corn, every week you get 7, that house did 7, and that house did 7, and then one week you get 5, you know that either one has 8, or you know that someone has more, you know.
Not necessarily, perhaps there was a blight.
Which
is what happened, you know. There was
this economic ball is completely unrelated to any kind of legitimate decrease in productive capability.
Actually, I disagree with you.
Besides
economic
hurricanes
downfall,
and earthquakes, but no, we have
there was mad cow disease. There was which caused a lot of problems with the meats. And so, therefore, hamburger prices and milk prices went up. There was we talk about
– But all of these things can be cured very easily if the economy were doing everything that it can do with its resources. And so –
That was just one example, though.
Yeah, I know.
But most of these things
– that happen
are not wiping out these things.
Besides a few of them, most of these things are not like things that are out of our control, and they are even things that we have created. And so, like, what I was saying is that if you have a finite amount of resources in the world,
and
you
then
know,
somebody has more,
yeah, and then. Then, like, you know that one of the like if you have less, that's because they have more. If they have more, if you have more, that's because they have less. You know, but like if everyone has less, how does that make any sense? That makes absolutely zero sense.
Well, that's on the assumption that someone else has more. Again, although you didn't want to hear that answer, there were many global and chemical reasons that kind of hit at once.
Well, chemical reasons are completely under our control, and most of these things, if we were to use our resources adequately in addressing earthquakes and hurricanes and diseases and all those sorts of things, then we wouldn't have the problems that we have with them.
That would take agreement.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I mean,
but
whatever
we,
it would take, that would be
the
thing
our country
that
went
would
to. What was it, Copenhagen this year? And we wouldn't even agree to get along with the climatologists and those people to do those things. So, such, you know, we take economics, but to do economics, you have to be willing to realize that all of those things are tied in together.
And that's what most of these protests are forgetting, you know. Like I said, I want to send out my best wishes and blessings and, you know, love and every light and everything to everyone all across the country who is fighting against budget cuts. I know that Thursday in Africa, some students were shot because they demanded free education. So this isn't just something that's happening in America. It is something that's happening all over the world. I got that from Democracy Now. But I think that people are really forgetting that the reason that governments don't have money for education and healthcare is because they're spending all their money on guns to run around trying to play, trying to compete with one another to see who can enslave the most infidels or whatever. Who even know? It's some crazy. I mean, the psychology of a tyrant is a baffling thing to try to figure out. But I think if any real protest movement against the cuts to higher education and healthcare is going to be successful, it's going to have to have a really strong, volition of will toward ending the war, ending war all over the world.
Yeah, it would. You would really have to realize that peace has got to happen, and that means agreement. You have to put aside your petty differences, because we all bleed red. And you know, we get to talking about this possible recession, and I used to joke that oh my gosh, the recession might be a depression. I think it's gone past a depression to a people talk about when depression happened in the 30s, people were committing suicide and jumping out of windows and things. They call that suicidal ideation. All right, folks, it's no longer a depression, it's an ideation. We've gotten to the point where things are actually that bad. There are so many homeless. The homeless has homeless number in this country has increased exponentially, not only for the whole country, but here in Thurston County, it's gone up. There's I think the number was 1,077 people admitted to being homeless. That was the people who admitted it, not counting people who are couch surfing, staying with friends, family, just doubling up on houses. They're considered homeless as well.
And one of the harder things to stomach about the American condition is that for some reason, like, revolution and dissent and legitimate social change is never possible in America until the middle class of people start caring about it, until really the upper middle class start caring about it. And so, and that's why all these budget cuts really do open the door for an opportunity of change, and an opportunity of people demonstrating their power and their will to change and their creative volition. But
stop having the idea, as long as it's not happening to me, it's okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And start realizing that, you know, to have a idea of activism or protest that completely singles education and the lack of funding to education out as an issue in society and says this is an unrelated thing. And I'm not saying that many people do this, but I'm saying that, you know, some people I heard around did this. People are kind of reluctant to direct their energy toward ending global war, because it's like, oh, well, it's okay if we're at war. We kind of just accept it. It's kind of like an everyday part of – it's kind of like a part of a everyday life. Like, oh, well, yeah, that water's dirty because the boats dump – oil in it. Oh, well, we've kind of, you know, we accept all these little things. Oh, well, yeah, you know, those cars, they pollute the atmosphere. And now we've thrown the war into that, you know.
I've actually
and it's just crazy.
Say,
and
I
people
can't help the homeless because everything I've earned.
Yeah, but people don't want to direct their energy toward changing the whole thing. They want to direct their energy toward changing whatever aspect about it is most immediate to them. You know, it's not my problem thing, you know, but whatever, it's fine.
The point is, someday it could be. If you don't do something now, it will be your problem tomorrow.
Yep. And this band is awesome. This is 7 Year Bitch. So on the 8th at noon, Martin Luther King Way, Southeast and Southeast Alder Street in Seattle at Powell Barnett Park. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's going to be an IWD International Women's Day celebration at Pocan, 1609 19th Avenue in Seattle from 7 to 9. On Monday the 8th, and that is organized by Sisters Organized for Survival, and Helen Fowler is going to call in a little while and probably tell you about it, more about it, and probably not screw the date up, but that's on the 8th at Pocan, 1609 19th Avenue from 7 to 9 on the 8th. It's an International Women's Day celebration. And in case you didn't know, City Council has proposed a comprehensive plan. And as City Council is a you know, a small circle within a network of larger spheres and larger circles, I'm sure that City Council's comprehensive plan is largely influenced by Thurston County's comprehensive plan. And Thurston County's comprehensive plan involves a whole lot of stuff with zoning. And for those of our maybe younger listeners or people who are unfamiliar, zoning determines what parts of town have businesses, what kind of businesses those can be, what parts of town are residential, how tall they can build their businesses, all of these sorts of things. And for a while, Olympia, at least downtown, has had it so that you can't build very tall buildings, and this has kept out a lot of developers who would want to come in here and bring some more high-end sort of housing. But this has been starting to change for a little while. And well, back to the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan says priorities are to contribute to a vibrant economy.
They have all sorts of points on their paper that says what they can and can't do. And they want to do some great things. You know, they want to make the Artesian Well an attractive and fun gathering place. And
which sounds like a good idea.
Support and market the success of downtown.
It's a great idea.
Which is excellent.
Awesome.
You know, they want us to do our part to increase housing in downtown Olympia through good planning and zoning and streamlined approvals.
Hmm. Well,
that's what they need to do.
Yeah, That's some wordsmithing right there. Yes, it is.
They think that if they since as partners, the way to do that would be to foster community ownership in the comprehensive plan update.
Yeah.
That's what they think would be a way to do that. They can promote housing density throughout Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
If they seek opportunities for community and police partnership, if we get along with the police, that would be great. Help neighbors to help themselves and each other. Well, hey, that's what we were talking about, people getting along with each other.
Yeah. And the one that we're going to focus on right now is contribute to a vibrant economy. So support and market the success of downtown. So support and market the success of downtown. Well, who would you market the success to? Well, you would market it. If you want to have a vibrant economy, then you bring money into that economy.
What about local businesses?
Well, you know, you bring local businesses in because, of course, you want to have organic because it's more comfortable.
Well,
you know, this is green capital. This is comfortable capitalism. You know, this is capitalism for us.
Okay, now,
what about bringing in tourism?
To support the businesses.
Well, you don't want tourism because then it'll turn back into capitalism for the stinkies.
Well,
you want capitalism for the cleanies. You see?
Okay.
this is how you get capitalism for the cleanies. This is green capitalism. This is how it's going to work. You build some really expensive stuff. Now
this is
how the Lurita Passage has been marketed. This is how you market downtown. Now, this is at triwayenterprises.com/land_Lurita.html. You say, the center of downtown, city of Olympia, two blocks between blah, 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 blah. Olympia is the state of Washington's scenic capital city with a population of 5,000 people. Tourists from all over the region visit the state capital and its monuments. Mountains and Mount Rainier, Olympia is the historic and cultural center of southern Puget Sound. The Evergreen State College, South Puget Sound Community College Street, and are in St. Martin University are all located here along with the state government. Blah, 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 blah. Olympia is centrally located within Seattle and Portland. So basically what this page is doing.
Okay, is this page that you're reading to?
It is from Triway Enterprises. This is the company that is trying to buy that property.
What property?
That overlooks Capitol Lake.
Okay,
right?
Now what has Capitol Lake got to do with what you just read from the city
proposal? Because Capitol Lake, where they're talking about having such a great view. They want to be able to stand up in their million-dollar apartments and smell the fish when they die in Capitol Lake every year. And so
it's just wrong.
And so total retail and leisure market sales, you know, blah, 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 blah. This whole page is written by the company who's trying to build this, and they are marketing it to people who will then visualize walking across the beautiful Friendship Bridge and into a stylish and contemporary active street life into the city center. We want our city to flourish. We want our city to flourish. And we know that housing is the one important component that can deliver a successful business climate for our unique local business, many of whom struggle in the present environment. Well,
okay,
isn't that just precious?
This is a proposed condo.
Yeah, we said that like three times. And so what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to build a bunch of condos so that they can have a bunch of rich people move in here. So then these rich people can then voice their opinion and their interests and stuff to everyone in town, the police department, everyone else, and they can make Olympia into a green capitalist paradise, and they can sit around smoking medical marijuana and not giving any of my friends a cigarette or a quarter or anything, and, you know, not having anything to do with anything that's friendly, and spending these little green dollars that'll probably still keep on funding war everywhere. And see,
I have a question. Has the zoning been agreed upon for this?
Well, that's a very good question. And there was a city council meeting on the fate of the downtown isthmus. The isthmus is the height regulation. Tuesday night, this time about whether an interim decision in January to drop building height limits back to 35 feet should be made permanent. Only 27 people signed up to speak at the beginning of the meeting, Mayor Doug Ma said, and the hearing was over in an hour. This is from the Olympian.com, published February 24th by Matt Batchelor, staff writer. As in previous hearings, opponents of taller height limits on the isthmus outnumbered supporters. Only a handful of supporters of taller height limits spoke. But basically, what they agreed to was to the two sides stuck to their positions. Supporters of taller buildings said they were bring downtown housing to meet density goals set by the State Growth Management Act. Opponents of taller buildings said they would obstruct precious views, particularly as seen from Capitol campus. Susan Collins Scott said she moved over here 30 years, drawn by waterfront views. It's a billion-dollar view, blah, blah, blah. And basically, let's see. Helen Fowler is about to call in, so they're going to push it back to another meeting. And
so let's all be there.
Yeah. They have meetings every Tuesday night. And the council is set to consider whether to repeal the interim zoning or go ahead with making the 35-foot height limit permanent on March 9th. But the thing is that Triway says that because it was already approved under previous zoning height limits, that they can go ahead and build it no matter what they say. So the strong opponents of this are going to have it out with them about it anyway. But, you know, one person who's – if anyone has, like, what you would call seniority in this town, in this community – it's the one person that they haven't asked their opinion about any of this. And it's the one person who always has the last say. So if I'm being too cryptic, here's the Spoonshine duo to fill you in.
Mm-hmm. does my sailor sail with you? No, he does not sail with me. He sleeps on the sea. What did the deep sea say? What did the deep sea say? It moaned and groaned and it splashed and it foamed and rolled on its weary way. Promise he never kept true. Never a word from my sailor have I heard since I sailed on that ocean blue. What did the deep sea say? What did the deep sea say? It moaned and groaned and it splashed and it foamed and rolled on its weary way.
For more information about how to protect the downtown isthmus and protect downtown from being bought up by a bunch of developers who want to, you know, change everything up and bring a bunch of people who will want to spend all kinds of amounts of money on worthless things, to stop that from happening, or see what you can do to stop that from happening, or find out what the issues are, then go type the city council into a Google search and find out what you need to do to get them to repeal, get them to make the 35-foot height limit permanent on March 9th. And we are joined now by Helen Fowler from Sisters Organized for Survival. What's going on, Helen?
Not much, D. How are you guys doing down there?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, we had we joined in with a protest at Evergreen that was organized by, I think, the Socialist Alternative down there last Thursday to protest budget cuts to education.
Yeah, I've heard a pretty good bit about all that. How's all that coming along?
It went really well. There's a pretty good turnout at the rally. Some very good speakers were there. Then there was kind of it was funeral themed. We're mourning, you know, the death of educational funds.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I like dramatic things. That's pretty cool.
And then there was a bunch of cars and bicycles. We had kind of a funeral cortege that went through, you know, took a very long circuitous route from Evergreen through downtown and up to the Capitol. And, you know, we had intersections blocked off and disrupting traffic and everything. We even cleaned off the street and joined in. It was pretty awesome.
What kind of support are you looking to gain from this? What is the overall goal of all this?
What we're trying to do is draw public attention to the effects of the budget cuts that have been proposed in the state legislature's budgets that they put forth. Basically, pretty much every program has been slashed drastically, which means that the support services for people who are without work or aren't working enough to make ends meet are going to pretty much evaporate. And also educational funds, grants, and scholarships depend on to go to school just aren't going to be there anymore. So they're going to be forced to either drop out or seek, you know, going into debt even further than they already are.
Do you think a lot of people are kind of – I think that everybody's missing the issue, which is that all this money that should be going to education and healthcare is going to war and essentially enslavement of what we would call indigenous peoples all over the world. And so if we're going to get the money back for higher education and healthcare and everything else that is necessary to sustain creative life, then we're going to have to end what off the vacuum that's taking it away from us. And that vacuum is the you know, Euro-American war machine.
Yeah. Well, I definitely agree that, I mean, if we just shut down the Pentagon, then we're going to have funding for, you know, every federal program that's needed that is just completely neglected right now. But what we're talking about right now is we're talking on a state level, the state of Washington. You know, while we do have contractors like Boeing here in the state, and they basically have a tax shelter because there is no income tax for corporate executives. There is no tax on corporate profits or capital gains. So, you know, they can make all this money off of the war machine and not have to give anything back, which is kind of what we're aiming for. I mean, Sisters Organized for Survival is demanding a steeply graduated income tax that would relieve the burden on the poor and the working class and would make the very rich and corporations pitch in to the people that actually earn the money for them.
Why don't Evergreen and Sisters Organized for Survival go and occupy the Boeing factories or occupy the rich corporate executives' houses and demand that they pay for their education? Because the teachers are getting screwed out of a lot of money on all this too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, there were, Thursday was a statewide walkouts at pretty much every university in the state. I know UW had, I think, at least 1,000 people walk out of class and gather at the quad. And we had some representatives there. We did engage in some civil disobedience. We did get up into the gallery in the Senate session, and they were in session, and kind of sang an amended version of Amazing Grace, talking about how, you know, how students, how are they going to pay for school when they can't even afford to buy food, which is kind of where things are at right now. And we did get kicked out of the Capitol, you know, escorted out en masse. So, you know, it's getting to the point where people are willing to engage in civil disobedience, which I think is great. I mean, I think that, you know, if there's injustice going on, it's our responsibility to draw attention to it and protest it in any means necessary.
Well, you know, International Women's Day is coming up, so I wrote a feminist a while back, and I have to quote myself, you know, in celebration of International Women's Day. So I'll say, like, why should, at the time I said, why should women, but really, why, you know, students who are protesting are really liberally minded people, and why should they seek rights and liberties and, like, things that never should have been taken from them in the first place? Why should they seek to have these rights granted to them by the people who have always oppressed them, you know? And
well, we, I mean, in Radical Women, and we do have our own, the Radical Women Manifesto, we see, you know, we do recognize the theft of these rights and that the patriarchal power structure, the class system and capitalism has always sought to enslave women and minorities and workers. Students are a big part of this, especially in the last 30 or so years with student loans becoming so common and tuition hikes going up. So what we demand is, you know, full, complete equality for not only women but minorities, the LGBT community, people of color, workers, the disabled, everybody who has been marginalized up until now. So we're not, you know, we're not timid about it. We're not, you know, just on our hands and knees saying, please, sir, can I have some more? You know, we're saying this is ours and we want it now.
When it comes to something to really say, what I can honestly say is that when people stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance, do they really realize what they're saying? next
I
Pledge of Allegiance.
I stopped
can they
playing the Pledge of Allegiance when I was 13.
We teach it to our children, and
because I knew it was a crock.
When we teach it to our children, we don't think about the words. And I thought about it a long time ago, and I thought, you know, I pledge allegiance to the land on which I stand, and to the people who are truly free.
Yeah,
I will stand.
I pledge allegiance to what America should be, to its promise, but you know, not to what it is right now. What it is right now is an absolute travesty, and it's a betrayal of the people who have suffered and died. Native Americans, of which I'm a member of Native American tribes, slaves, Black African Americans, you know, workers that have been essentially enslaved, women, children, you know, indigenous groups, Hispanic people, you know, it's just an absolute travesty what America has become. You know, it's become a tool for the corporatocracy. But we do have an event coming up with Radical Women for International Women's Day. It's not on the 8th, which is International Women's Day, since it is not an officially recognized holiday in this country. But we are having it on the 13th, and what we're doing is showing support for the women of Palestine, because they're really the vanguard party in resisting the Israeli occupation and the Israeli war crimes against the Palestinian people.
That's pretty awesome. Where is that? Where is it going to be at?
It's going to be at New Freeway Hall up here in Seattle. And if you go to radicalwomen.org or socialism.com, you can find the hall. There is a door fee. We're having a Middle Eastern-style gourmet dinner at 6. The event starts at 7:30, and we're going to have a anti-Israel Jewish feminist scholar, Adrienne Weller, who is just brilliant, and she's always been very active in anti-Zionist activity. And then also Raya, who is, Raya Fidel is an anti-Zionist Israeli-American UW professor. She's the chair. And then Nadia Elia is the co-chair of Insight, which is an anti-militarism task force, and she's an organizer for the academic and cultural boycott of Israel. So it's going to be a really, really luminary and radical night.
That sounds pretty awesome. And that's Thursday, March 13th at 7:30 p.m. at 5018 Rainier Avenue in Seattle.
Right. Yeah, that's Saturday, March 13th.
And then there's another event on the 8th from 7 to 9 at Pocan, 1609 19th Avenue in Seattle. And that is a, that just says IWD celebration. Do you know what that's about?
Well, that's International Women's Day, which was started by socialist parties in 1911. And it is recognized as a national observed holiday. Unfortunately, in most capitalist countries that support, you know, economic imperialism, they don't recognize it because they do want women to stay disenfranchised and unempowered.
That's I think that the old school people who said that, like, the feminists would be the final revolution, and that any kind of back to the earth, like when Vandana Shiva says that an ecology that isn't feminist isn't ecological enough, and a feminism that isn't ecological isn't feminist enough, and how all these kind of, like, you know, going back to, like, circular thinking and all that is the way to go. And people kind of do forget about that when they leave protesting against the war everywhere in the world and protesting against capitalist society directly, rather than protesting against individual aspects of it. You know, it's like protesting against the education cuts is like, it's kind of like saying, well, now it's affecting me, so I'll protest against it. You know, we've been at war ever since I was born, but it's affecting me now, so I have to do something about it. And that's kind of getting away from a return to, you know, compassionate minded.
Yeah. Well, you know, feminism, you know, is really humanism. It's about choice. It's about an individual being able to live their life as they see fit, and be fully empowered and fully enfranchised, no matter what their sex or gender or status as far as relationships, social standing. I think there's been a tendency, you know, over the last 30 years in feminist movements to kind of try and dictate what people should do. But I think it does start with your own individual life, the choices you make, and making conscious choices as a lifestyle. You know, refusing to buy products that are made in sweatshops or are made by imperialist corporations. You know, choosing to live a very sustainable life where you're not wasting or using more than you really need. You know, I do think that feminism is about bringing balance back. You know, once upon a time, we did have a very egalitarian, very communal society that was common to most of humanity, and it was very sustainable. You know, it existed for tens of thousands of years, and somewhere it went wrong, and, you know, where it went wrong and how is still kind of up for debate, but I don't think anybody argues anymore that once we did have, you know, leadership by women and so-called feminine values held in high regard, and it was a much healthier way to live, both for ourselves and for the earth.
I think that the child is the most important. I don't think that the man is more important or the woman is more important. I think that the child and the laughter is most important out of all of it, you know?
So. Yeah, children, they're definitely, I mean, they are the key. Because we, you know, we raise the next generation to be better and stronger and wiser than ourselves. You know, and it only takes one or two generations to really affect huge social change. But it has to be instilled in them. And, you know, children need to be valued. I mean, I've worked with abused children that were, I mean, just treated horrifically by the people that should have been protecting them and nurturing them. So we definitely do need to, you know, take a good look at kind of what the family has become, you know, and how it's become kind of more of a power structure than anything else.
And a lot of times, that's a really good point, and a lot of times people will kind of use the idea of protecting children and honoring children to or honoring that sort of that essence within, you know, creation or like being or whatever. And they say, well, I don't want to be completely radical and like completely go against the government and everything because I want to protect my children and stuff. But if we're going to protect our children's future and we're going to, you know, make a good world for what's to come, then we're going to have to like be really, really strong and teach our children those ideals. You know, I can't get away from saying that everyone has to start really taking it upon themselves to make a whole lot of change about what's really the root causes of all this.
Mm-hmm.
In order sense is consent, and in order to do that, we're gonna have to have a whole lot of strength. And, you know, Danielle wants to say something.
Well, I say radicalism is kind of like being pregnant. Either you are radical or you ain't.
Well, the thing is if you're not willing to do anything to change things, then when the world isn't the way you want it to be for your children, you don't have anywhere to look but in the mirror, you know.
Exactly.
You raise your children to be able to live in the world once they are adults. And if you mollycoddle them and they fall flat on their face once they turn 18, again, look in the mirror. You have to expect them to be able to have certain challenges. And that doesn't mean that you give them a cigarette and a bottle of gin and put them out the door at 5. That's not what you do. You give them the tools and the knowledge necessary to make the proper choices.
And the way things are going, I think all to teach their kids to be really strong and like teach them how to be you know, beat right. writers and everything.
You give them awareness without with buffering. They don't need to have their innocence taken from them. But there's a lot going on in the world that the economy isn't in a good situation. And I don't want my children to not be able to be able to. I don't want them thinking that, hey, they're going to be able to get a job, no problem. And hey, there's lots of money for college. And hey, everything is great. Because it's not a fairy tale. And life isn't fair. But I do want them to know that, hey, be kids and play. And mom will do her best to take care of everything. But it's not easy. And we have to work together.
And that's a great lesson to teach them, because we do need to be taught to cooperate. We do need to be taught to work together for a goal. You know, I think the objective of really raising children is to teach them how to be a complete person and an active person, you know. Teach them what the world is like without traumatizing them, so that when they are out on their own, they're capable of handling it and capable of making conscious and wise decisions. And sheltering them or instituting a lot of discipline, necessary discipline, you can't do this, you can't do that, it's just, it's very, very counterproductive in my view. You know, better to teach them to deal with consequences of their actions from very, very early on.
And, you know, the theme of Air Olympia is pretty much advice and often criticism to the activist community here in Cascadia.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as activists, we can we're basically like the, you know, we're like the parents of society, because we're the ones, we're like the you know, the watchdogs or whatever. We're like the panthers.
You're the cool parents, though.
You don't need any more kids. Please don't do that.
Well, I mean we're like we watch over. We're the ones who keep everything in check. We're like the check and the balance. We have to kind of coddle them a little bit, you know, and we have to be patient sometimes, but we have to be really, really strong and really stern. Well, we're almost out of time, Helen.
It's been great. It's been wonderful talking with you guys. Hope to do it again soon.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome. We might be headed up to Seattle for that meeting on Monday.
Great. Wonderful. Yeah. We'll see you there.
Okay, cool. Talk to you later.
Okay, great. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Well, this has been Air Olympia, and we love you very, very, very much. And we'll see you tomorrow at 3. With our dying hands to grasp for a new life.